G'day everyone, welcome back to this week's edition of the FPL Oz podcast. It's me, Camo, the manager of Black Betty Aubameyang. And as always, I'm joined by Maiko and the boy, my sons. Welcome. Tater, what a week for you. Well done. You've led us through what's been a horrible game week. How do you feel? Me and Maiko are both very, very envious of you. Talk us through it.
Not as happy as you make it out there. Like, I got 54, which was a pretty good week in what was a very tough game week for everyone. So
very greedy.
You got to be happy with 54. Yeah, so I'm happy enough with it. I rose from 617K into 386. So pretty big swing, swing there of 231K. I think I was into about 280 mid-game week, but probably shouldn't look at it mid-game week because we all know there's plenty to play out. And in that last game, obviously the Salah captainers and paired with Son or Vardy sort of got me, but very, very happy with that. So yeah, Rafinha as captain was a bit of a miss. Would have loved to have gone Jimenez or Mo Salah. I've got some thoughts on the Mo Salah one, which we'll talk about a bit later, but 54, pretty good. My trade, you know, it was not a great result, but probably had to be done coming into the next few weeks. Alien was injured. He went out for Rudiger, who got two, but he was pretty close to a few assists, Rudiger, and more often than not, he's going to get a clean sheet. And he's a very safe pick, so I'm not going to be disappointed with that one trade. What about you, Cameron? You made a few more than one trades, I think, and hasn't given the results you were looking for just yet.
I'm playing a long game, the boy. I'm happy with my team for the next week, but obviously that's for a later day. I only ended up on a very, very low 40 when you take into account the neg 8 I took across the game week, only a 32. So my overall ranks ballooned out to 1.88 mil at the moment. And then my three transfers were, I got rid of Pogba, MacArthur from Palace, who was a bit of bench fodder, and Reece James, just with his injury cloud. I didn't want to hold on to him, which was, he's been a disaster pretty much since I got him in 2 weeks ago, which sums up the wild card. And then Rafinha, Rudiger and Gallagher I got in, and surprise, surprise, all three basically blank. So it's been lots of rush decisions, lots of poor decisions so far, probably chasing my tail. I think I said to you boys on, was it Monday morning? I had the thoughts about captaining Mo, as we all say after.
I think we all did.
You always look at the, what do you get, 14 or something, and you go, oh, that would have been nice to have. But him against City, you take, it all started pretty pear-shaped for me when Ronaldo didn't even start. I heard the whispers, 15 minutes out from the deadline? One of you boys sent that through, and that's when I knew it was going to be a bad, bad week. Maiko, you beat me a little bit, but still, we're still down in the
dollars. What's your ranking at, sorry, before we move on, Tom?
Oh, 1.8 million, my boy. So it's ballooned out.
Where'd you finish last year?
like 5K. So, you know, just shows. It's a quality game. And if you're not at your best, you can fall away very quickly. But there's still 7 million people behind me, so I'll take that. Maiko, talk us through your week, son.
Yeah, Camo, I enjoyed that low mission of the rank there from you, mate. I'll probably do something similar myself, but no, not the ordinary week from me. Did beat you when you take into account your minus 8, but didn't if we're just squaring off points. So Salah was my one of only two returns. So Salah with a 13, White with a 7. And then otherwise pretty much blanks all round. So my trades of Alonso and Gallagher, I went early like we talked about last week on the podcast, and absolutely shocking. So Alonso traded him in early, and he was obviously blanked. So I did didn't even feature. So very disappointing. And Chilwell to come in. So yeah, obviously the ordinary week, 38 for me. Captaincy on Lukaku, which was another blank. Obviously, he hit the post from right in front, so that was tough pill to swallow. Marcel with a blank with a 3, but somehow snuck a bonus point in, and Schmeichel with 1 in goals for me, who will likely go out this week. So pretty ordinary week for me. I've ballooned out to 980K, I think. So lots of work to do, Camo. Lots of work for me to do.
Oh, you and me both, son. I guess coming into an international break, having 2 weeks off, it's a long time, especially down here now in Oz with no footy. The season's done. It's going to be a pretty quiet weekend. You and me, Maiko, both have wasted our wild cards this year. The boy, you've got yours up your sleeve. This two-week break, if any chance of you using it, or it's safely in the pocket for now?
No chance at all. I'll be probably deleting the app just so I don't look and tinker too much. I think one of our loyal listeners sent a question in to do a wildcard draft, just hypothetically, which I did, which, you know, I probably shouldn't have, but that's probably even more reason to delete the app. But I look at my team this week, what it will be next week, and the hard thing is actually settling on 11 because I've got a lot of good options. So there's no need to wildcard, I don't think, if you have that. So I'm going to let it ride for as long as I can. I've already picked out a few weeks that are a fair way down the track that I might do it, but it definitely won't be this week. But what do you guys think? Hypothetically, if you had it, is there merit to do it while you have 2 weeks to tinker?
I wouldn't have thought so, son. I'd be holding on to it if I was you. I've looked at your team, and I think it depends, obviously, what you're looking at and who you're shaping up with this week and what your fixtures are like. But I think for you, it's definitely a hold. I would absolutely love to have mine on me still. I don't know how I've ended up with the team I have when I've already wildcarded. So I think it's probably a bit of a myth in the FPL world, like having your wild card and spending your wild card like I have automatically means you've got a better team, because a lot of the time it doesn't. Like you just don't know. No one can predict the future. So I think while you've got a good thing going, the boy, I'd hold on to it. What do you reckon, Cameron?
Yeah, I think like the way your team's gone, I definitely would stick with it. You know, you've got some good fixtures to come. I think if you're probably in the scenario where maybe you had a few Manchester United players, like they're looking a bit shaky. Like if you had like a Pogba, Ronaldo and Shaw, you know, they're coming into a tough run. Maybe if you had like a Schmeichel in goals. But I think if you're able to work it with, save it, bank a few transfers and take a -4. I know you're a bit against it at the minute, but you're trying to hold off as long as you can. But, you know, that can be a good way just to, if you can hold and make 3 with just the 1-4 in 1 week, you know, there's a mini wild card and you might get yourself to game week, you know, 15, 16 later in the year where we've got more data behind us, where we can sort of see where the season's heading a little bit more. Whereas I think sort of this year with, it's just was always like that thought of putting the wild card out in game week 7 for this Chelsea fixture swing. And that's already looking at the first game week of their first week of this run hasn't quite gone to plan. So I'm glad I haven't had it and I didn't use it last week because I would have loaded up on Chelsea players and would have been burnt badly this week with the Southampton goals. So yeah, it's a tough one. It's good not having it because you can't waste it again.
I think the stubbornness has actually served me pretty well. Like there's guys that I wanted to get rid of. I wasn't happy with them being in my team, but an even stronger thought for me was that I didn't want to make too many transfers, especially -4s. So it's meant I've held Tony, it's meant I've held Bruno, it's meant I've held Rafinha, it's meant even Jimenez, the first game I had him, I think he blanked. And since then he's got 10 and 8, I think. So just sticking with what you know, back in that once upon a time when you trusted them that they can still do all those things, even Veltman and Sanchez, there was probably a time where the Brighton defence wasn't looking that good and now they're on fire. So Luke Shaw probably doesn't fit into that basket though. Him for Cancelo will probably happen, but we're not going to talk too much about next week yet because we're going to do that next week when the international break's been. We've all got 6 injuries and I'm probably pulling the wild card out because that's how this game works. So. But now, speaking of wild cards, Mike, you were pretty excited. You put a tweet up and I think a few responses from the loyal fans.
Yeah, had some good engagement on Twitter this week, which was great to see. So we got a question through by a loyal listener to talk about wild cards. So obviously, as we've mentioned before, there's a few people out there who are looking to wild card over the international break. Not only does it give you something to do over the last 2 weeks, but it's probably a good time to focus on what your team what you want your team to look like over the next few weeks. So the question that FPL teacher sent through was, if we were to use a 3-5-2, a 3-4-3, and one other, what was the other?
4-3-3, the other one.
Yeah. So if we were to do a wild card with all those formations, what were they going to look like? So we've divvied them up between the three of us. So I'll jump off first. I've gone the 4-3-3. And it was making me very jealous doing this, thinking that I can't do this in my own team, but I've worked it out. I'm going with Ramsdale in goal. I think their fixtures coming up over the next few weeks, and just his price at 4.6. I think he's kept 3 clean sheets out of 4 games now for Arsenal, and they're looking pretty tidy and tight at the back with Partey sort of dropping in. Now he's back from injury, dropping in front of the defence and helping them out. I think they're looking pretty tight back there. So I'll have Ramsdale at the back, and then I'll have Kyle Walker at the back with for my City defence. I think Cancelo is a great option, but Zinchenko is due back from injury after the international break. So I think there's probably going to be a little bit of rotation start to there. And he was pretty ordinary, Cancelo, defensively for the 2 goals that Manchester City conceded on the weekend. So I wouldn't be surprised if Zinchenko starts to rotate through that left-back role. And I think Walker's probably more nailed on in the right-back role. So Walker, then double up Chelsea defence with Rudiger and Azpilicueta. I think those two are probably the only two that are banged on, because Rudiger plays pretty much in central defence the whole time, and Azpilicueta and Azpilicueta can share his roles between right-back and right-centre-back. So he's nailed on. Then Trent, obviously, no need to explain there. Salah, same thing. The other two in midfield for my 4-3-3 are Rafinha and Son. So I'm going to go early on Son. Their fixtures switch over in 12, but I think he's pretty fixture-proof, and I think they will score at least 1 or 2 goals in most of their upcoming games, and Kane's starting to look a little bit more dangerous as well. So I think Son at 10 million instead of getting that third premium in Ronaldo is the best option. And then for my 3 up front, I've gone Antonio. I think he's pretty fixture-proof and great value at 8 million. Lukaku, who obviously hasn't looked great at the moment. I think he hasn't scored in 5 goals in all competitions, and they look like they're just trying to work out their best way to work with him up front. So obviously on the weekend, he paired up front with Werner, and Werner was the one who ended up getting on the end of most of it. So, but I'll still back Lukaku over the next few weeks with their fixtures. And then also my third forward is Hwang with Jimenez. So I think him and Jimenez are starting to create a bit of a pretty good flow on there. Jimenez is sort of dropping in a bit deeper, almost like Harry Kane does, into sort of central midfield, and Hwang's going past him and making some pretty good runs. And that's the way he found 2 goals on the weekend. So that's the lineup I'd go. And then just with some bench fodder with Livramento to come on first bench, and Brownhill and Basuma. So pretty good lineup, and one that I wish that I could have. So FPL teacher, there's your 4-3-3. What about you, Tate?
3-5-2 I've been tasked with, which I put my hand up for, because this is what I like to play with. I like to play with 5 midfielders. I've spoken a lot about there's some free points there for the midfielders, the extra point for a goal. They tend to take a lot of more set pieces. They can get the clean sheet point. So if I can play 5 midfielders, I always will. So 3-5-2 is my go. I'd go Edison in goals. I'd get double city defence this way by Cancelo. I'd stick with him. I do agree with those points you made, but at the moment the points are on the board, so I'd be happy enough to stick with him. And Rudiger and Alexander-Arnold pretty much pick themselves. And then Duffy and Livramento would be the 2 defenders on the bench. So again, this is probably why I don't mind if Cancelo gets dropped, because Livramento and Duffy are going quite well, and they're costing me nothing. They'll come on. I think you just hope that if he doesn't play, he gets 0 minutes. And the Fab 5 in the middle, Rafinha, just love the bloke. Let me down again on the weekend. I've captained him twice this year, and he's blanked both times, but that shows how much I like him. So he'd be in there. Mo Salah would be in there, of course. Mbeumo from Brentford. Jump on this guy, I reckon. I've already got Tony, so I'm not going to, but looks like Brentford are going to score a lot of goals. He's a striker in real life, but a 5.5 million midfielder in this game. So jump on him. He should have scored 3 times in the first 15 minutes on the weekend. If you watch those highlights, it was quite amazing. Next, another man I'm all over at the moment, Emile Smith Rowe. So he's in. And Phil Foden. I think both those guys just have so much talent, and they're going to get plenty of chances because both their sides are playing pretty well at the moment, and they're going to get lots of minutes, I think. Lukaku, and Armstrong from Southampton as the two strikers that I'd be backing on the field. Armstrong's coming in some really nice fixtures now, as is Lukaku. And then on the bench in the forwards would be Huang, but obviously you're more than happy to play him if he has a better fixture than Armstrong and Bueno or Smith Rowe. So it is a 3-5-2, but it's pretty flexible. And I think there's still 1.7 left over with that team. So as I said, it was pretty tempting to put together because I do like the look of that team. The other goalie is gone at 4.0 just because he's as cheap as he can get. So like the look of that team. And I forget his name that asked the question, but maybe you should go with that, I reckon. If you do go with a wild card, and just let us know what formation you go with, because I'd love to
know. FPL teacher.
I would just love to know who's swung your mind. Tom, your go.
Yeah, I've got the 3-4-3. I do roll with this formation a little bit. It was a bit of a tough one to sort of go with. I spent a lot of time at work today when I should have been working, flicking through some different ones. So I've gone with Ramsdale in goal as well, and with Foster, his deputy, a four million keeper that can sit on the bench and come on every now and then, which will be pretty handy when they get some good fixtures. I've gone Cancelo, Rudiger and Chilwell as my three main men in defence. So taking the gamble on Ben and hoping that pays off, but you know, it easily could swing through any of the Chelsea defenders. You could go Azpilicueta, anyone like that. I think it's good to have both in the fixture swing. So that'd be my three at the back. I'd then go through the four in the middle. Would have Salah, obviously, Rafinha, who you boys have mentioned. I'd go Son as well. I think if someone's going to score for them, he's going to be involved. I think Harry Kane's obviously struggling a little bit at the minute. And like we've sort of seen, midfielders get those more points for scoring and for the clean sheets as well. Tottenham aren't keeping too many of those. And then my fourth spot would be sort of either I've got Mbeumo in there at the minute. They've obviously got Chelsea this week and then a really, really nice run. And as you were saying, the boy, he's doing really well and looking like pretty dangerous. And then I'd just have Lukaku, I'd have Armstrong up front, and I'd go for Iheanacho. I think Leicester are a much better side when he's playing. I'd go way back with Kelechi, and I think he would be someone to look at. If you have a look at Vardy's been better since he's been playing. I mean, he's played 28 minutes the other day and got an assist, Kelechi, and then scored again on the weekend, played 75. If he gets out there, he's money. As we saw at the end of last year, he was just absolutely flying. And I think that Rodgers will start to play him more with the troubles that they've had to start the year. I think they need that sort of firepower. So that'd be my sort of starting 11. And then, as I said, Foster on the bench, Marcel Livramento, who I think everyone should have. I mean, he's just cash. He showed it on the weekend with another assist. And then I'd have just my fifth midfielder would be Smith Rowe. I'd just have him or an Odegaard on the bench, and just rotate through with as their fixtures go. I'd rather have one of those playing midfielders than a 4.5 if you can afford it out on the field, and someone that you can rotate. So you've got a little bit of bench depth. But yeah, a few things to think about in my team. Yeah, it'd be interesting, FPL teacher and anyone else out there who's having a listen, what you think, if you go with any of those squads or if there's any of the players that have sort of piqued your interest in there. But unfortunately, it's going to be another, 20 game weeks before I get to use another wild card. So plenty of time to think about it. The boys, yeah, what did you think?
FPL teacher, if you're listening, make sure you let us know what you think. And anyone else who is listening, whether you'd go with formation you'd go with and what you think of the teams, make sure you give us a tag on Twitter and let us know. We did have another question on Twitter from Jack Mattingly. He sent one through. Just wondering about the freemium. And what the go is with that, whether that's viable going forward, or and the freemium being with Ronaldo, Lukaku and Salah, whether that's viable going forward. So I'll start off by answering that. As I went with the freemium, I wildcarded a few weeks ago now and had Salah and then paired with Ronaldo and Lukaku up front. It definitely hasn't worked. So I think if I had my goal, my chance again now, I'd be sticking away from the three. But just not only because of the lack of points, like I think these guys are going to get points. There's no question about that. But it's just limited me so much with my trades and my movement elsewhere that it's probably just not worth it. Like I think the points, guaranteed they're going to get points, but the points can be matched elsewhere. And then you could just do so much else with the rest of your money across your team that it opens up other options through midfield and defence. So obviously without a wild card now, I'm really struggling to battle between taking hits to reshape my team, which is the only way to do it because I can't really even do it in two trades because I don't have enough cash elsewhere to move. So that's what I'm really struggling with at the moment. So I think what's a viable option and what I had in my 4-3-3 wild card was to drop one of the premiums. Probably Ronaldo was the most expensive for a son, and there automatically you've got 3 million right there, which opens up a lot of options throughout the rest of the team. So I think the two premiums plus Son, which is probably, I guess you could call it a third premium, is the option I'd go with. But yeah, if I was to go take my time again, I'd probably just go Lukaku and Salah and then spread my funds across the team. So moving forward, that's what I'll be looking to do. And I think I'll hold Ronaldo for this game week because I think Leicester's defence is pretty ordinary. So I'll hold Ronaldo for this game week and then I'll look to move him on and move forward with Lukaku and Salah. So that's what I'll be going with. What about you, Camo? What do you think?
Yeah, I've got Ronaldo on Mo. Ronaldo, he's gone like 6-2-1. So he hasn't been really that great since I got him in. But yeah, I agree. I don't think having the freemium is really worth it. I think that there's so much value in the forwards. If you look at the top scoring forwards, I mean, Antonio's 8 million, Jesus, he's 8.6, St. Max, 6.8, Mapai, 6.5, and Tony, 6.3 there, the sort of top six, and then Vardy's the second highest at 10.4. So I know Lukaku and Ronaldo didn't come in and haven't played since game week one, but you can get just as many points with, you know, four million in the bank with one or two of those guys. And then you can spend that money down back or you can upgrade your midfield. Obviously, we've shown that this year that Chelsea defenders, you know, you pay 5.5, 6 million for those guys. The City boys are absolutely flying. You know, you get two of those for the same price as Ronaldo and you've still got pocket change. So, yeah, I think definitely having one of them. So I'd be probably looking at Lukaku for this run and then looking to switch to Ronaldo later. Have like an Antonio, Jimenez, Iheanacho now, and maybe another cheap one. Or if you only like to play with two, get the boys' man, Dane Scarlett, in there and spend the money elsewhere. Tate, you've got neither. You've only got Mo and Bruno. So, yeah.
I was just going to say to Jack Matley, the theory of the freemium I'm not against, but that freemium I am. Because like I was saying before, I like the midfielders. I like the points in midfield. Plenty of years gone by, I've had Salah, Fernandes and De Bruyne when they're all playing well because they're three midfielders. They're getting the big points, as I was talking about before. And at the moment, I have Salah and Bruno. And if, you know, if KDB or something like that caught fire, I'd be, you know, I wouldn't be against bringing them in. But in terms of forwards that cost that much, which it's, it's probably, it hasn't happened in the last few years. There's always been Kane and maybe Vardy would be the closest has been to two big forwards like that in terms of price. But yeah, I'm against those two. You know, I think even if they did sort of both start banging in goals, I still don't know if the value would be there because it'd be all well and good to say I've got 20 points out of these two guys, but look at the points that everyone else got with that money would be interesting to see. So yeah, Salah and Bruno is my big dogs. I'm pretty happy with it at the moment. I think I've been unlucky with Bruno, which I'm going to keep banging on every week because he's so close to getting heaps more points because he's playing really well.
Yeah, it's definitely some food for thought there.
Yeah. So not against the freemium philosophy, but that one, Jack, I am. Mike.
Yeah, no, I was just going to mention that KDB, like what's our thoughts there? Obviously couldn't catch the game, as most Australians would know. The timing over the weekend was pretty ordinary for the big game, which was probably one of the better games that we've seen in a long time in the Premier League. So very disappointing not to watch that. But yeah, KDB, he looked a bit of a step up than what he has been. He missed a header at the back post that he probably would bury most times. and played some pretty key passes in their movements forward. So I think he's a watch for me, KDB. I'll be keeping an eye on him. Obviously, I'll have to move a lot of funds like we talked about before, but he's a watch for me, KDB, going forward. As you said, that extra points in the midfield and City's run going forward. So he's a watch for me. Camo, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I think looking at those fixture swings to come, we've sort of talked about City, we've talked about Chelsea, but you know, there's a fair few teams out there that are starting to come in. If you look at the FDR, you know, with some nice little runs of fixtures. There's always a few car crashes in there and a few traps that, you know, that can catch a manager out, and you see plenty of green, but they can actually be, you know, a road to disaster. So looking ahead, I think, boys, is anyone, any of the teams coming up caught your eye as ones certainly to target outside of that, you know, Chelsea and that sort of thing?
Yeah, Camo, I think the one for me is probably Southampton, but the issue is that they haven't scored they've scored once in four games. So I think the one for me is Southampton's defence. I think McCarthy in goals at 4.5, and then obviously Livramento's assaults up the wing just look superb. So I'd be targeting him. Obviously, don't have him in now, and I probably should. So Livramento and McCarthy in defence for Southampton. And the other one is Norwich. Like, I've seen a lot on the FPL community on Twitter and other podcasts and things like that talking about targeting Pukki, but I just don't see it. They're just not offering anything for me. And even in defence, I had Brandon Williams in my team for a little while. But him at 4.0 is not playing anymore. He got dropped on the weekend. So I think a few people have talked about targeting Norwich's good run. But I was listening, shout out to the Planet FPL podcast today, and one of the hosts said they've got good fixtures, and the other host said good fixtures for who, which is a good point, because they're good fixtures, but they're not good fixtures for Norwich because Norwich have coming last. So I think that's a good way to look at it there. So Southampton defence, yes for me. Norwich, a no for me. What about you, Camo?
Yeah, that's great to hear, Maiko. You know, I've got both those boys in there, McCarthy and Livramento. So, hopefully that can mean I can get my season back on track. But so, yeah, I've invested heavily in Southampton. So I've got those two and Armstrong up front. So I don't know how it happened. I got all three. But I think with Leeds, Burnley, Watford, Villa and Norwich to come in the next five game weeks, there'll be some points there and definitely some attacking points. Hopefully Armstrong's able to get back on the board. I'd also think Brentford, that's where I'll be looking to get at least one player in. So we've talked about Mbueno there. They've got a great run coming up. I would look at Tony as well. It just would just be a flip of a coin. I mean, you save yourself 0.8 by getting him in over Tony. So that'd be someone I'd look at. Their defence has been quite good all year. I know they've let in a few goals against Liverpool and the likes, but that's going to happen against that sort of opposition. So I wouldn't be too scared. Definitely Norwich. I looked at Pukki before, but you just can't see them scoring enough goals for him to be a viable option. Leeds, I think it's fantastic to have their attacking assets, but they've just shown, I think a lot of people would have started with Ayling and start of the year, but they just don't have the strength defensively at the minute and the poise to go on and keep those clean sheets. So I think if you are investing in these attackers, then go for it. But I'd be sticking away from their defence at the moment. Tate, anyone, any of those teams with good runs that caught your eye?
Appreciate the question. Love the question by FPL teacher. But my answer is, start looking less at fixtures. Look at Mo Salah this week. Should have been captain, had to be captain. He was in the best form. Liverpool score one or two goals nearly every game they play. Don't worry about who they're playing too much. Look at who they are. The flip side can be for Chris Wood. He was playing Norwich this week. And in another world, I would have almost gone to -4 to bring him in and captain him just because he was playing Norwich. But Burnley are not playing well. So why would I get Chris Wood? So that's my message. Look less at fixtures. Obviously, I'm not telling anyone to just forget about them because they do count for something, but look less at them. Look at the teams that are playing well and go after their players. So Brentford, don't even know who they play. I'd look at their guys because they're playing really well. They're attacking team. They've got Tony and Mbueno, both great value that are going to be in most of their goals one way or another. So My message is look less at fixtures.
The boy, do you reckon that's, you know, obviously that's Chris Wood and the other one you're talking about is Mo Salah. So do you think that's more of a thing that you'd be looking at for your premium players? You know, they're more fixture proof than those cheaper options that you might be looking for, like your Woods, your Mbeumos, even Rafinha in those lower price brackets.
Yeah, oh, definitely. Like Salah's sort of in his own league. There's an argument that he should just be your captain every week. And there's people that are going really, really well that probably don't even take the captaincy off him. And they'll probably get more captaincy points for the year than someone that studies it and has a really good year and does it well. So definitely. And like Mike was saying with Pookie before, it's good fixtures for who? Like you can't get too stuck on the fixtures. Just have a bit of faith. And, you know, sometimes an easy fixture for a not as good team, like, for example, Leeds versus Watford on the weekend, not going to say I watched it because I didn't, because we're in Australia and it was at 1 a.m. or whatever, but, you know, it was 1-0. Who would have thought it was going to be 1-0? Maybe since both teams thought they were going to win that they defended a bit harder. Who knows? Like, that's what you got to factor in. It's not just going to be Leeds are playing Watford, they're going to score lots of goals. Watford are playing Leeds, they're going to score lots of goals. Look at how Watford and Leeds are both going and think about that a bit more than just who they're playing. Mike, you got some thoughts on that?
Yeah, I was just going to say, touch briefly on something you said there, the boy. What are our thoughts on the set and forget captain? I've seen it thrown around a fair bit on the FPL community on Twitter this week after Salah obviously went big against Manchester City, who are at the moment probably favourites to take out the league. So what are our thoughts? My thoughts, I'm actually quite tempted to set and forget Salah over the next few weeks at least and just see how it goes, because I think if I'd set and forget Salah at the start of the year and compared it to now, I'd be way better off in my captaincy than I would be before that. So what are your boys' thoughts on that, Camo?
Yeah, I don't mind it. I think you probably can get a bit caught up chasing fixtures, you know, with your captaincy sometimes. I think, and even it gets to the point where you just does your head in, you just get round in circles, you start looking at, you know, jumping at shadows with different players and who they might be matched up against. So I think, you know, there's definitely some merit in it. And if you're going to do it to anyone, it's got to be Mo. You got to leave it on. Tate, what about you?
Yeah, like you would go fine if you got with Mo. Like he's got 70 points this year. How many people would have got 140 out of their captain? Probably no one, except for the person that has set and forget him. So that's an argument in itself. But for me, we play this game for fun. And part of the fun for me is picking a captain every week. And I will back myself a lot of times to maybe get a better one than Salah. But then again, we've had 7 game weeks and it's been Salah 5 times for me. And I think the 2 times it wasn't, he outscored my captain. So it's probably wrong, but sometimes you've got to have a bit of fun.
Yeah, certainly. Plenty to think about, boys, over the next 2 weeks. I look forward to seeing what you guys come up with next week when we have a bit more of a chat, no doubt. We'll definitely be discussing as the week goes on, and hopefully there's not too many injuries and too many COVID breaches that happen over this international break, not like last
hopefully
time.
Hopefully no one gets arrested.
Yeah, well, no more officials on the pitch would be good. And hopefully next week we've come back and it's been panic stations and Tate's pulled the big red button out and gone bang, and we're going to have something very exciting to look at. But boys, thanks again.
Hopefully I'm still here next week. I got my second AstraZeneca vaccine today, which has obviously been a controversial topic here in Australia. How safe it might be. I'm sure it is. I'm just joking.
I'm sure you'll be fine, mate. But I just wanted to quickly say we're thinking of everyone who got hacked this week too. Obviously, FBL community's been going off on Twitter about the hacking. So we're thinking of everyone. And if only it happened to my team and they took all the hits and reset my team. So other than that, we'll see you next week, guys, and we'll talk about the game week to come.